Well, that's right. Hey, I'm Ann Eller right here this morning, and my very special guest host this morning, the one and only, the Fabuloso, Jim Bohannon, right down there in Atlanta, Georgia. How you doing this morning, Jim?
Well, I'm doing just fine, Ann, and basking in the glow of your effervescent introduction.
Well, I always try to make it a big one. There you go.
Well, that was very nice. Yeah, I'd like fanfares next time.
Okay.
And maybe rose petals strewn in front of me, but otherwise it was pretty good.
I'll see what I can do, Jim.
Thank you.
You may have to come to the studio for the rose petals, though. I don't think I can get them through the phone lines. Well, how you been doing there, Jimbo?
I've been doing just fine, Ann. I'm down attending the National Association of Broadcasters radio show in Atlanta at the Marriott Marquis Hotel here. And a host of brilliant broadcasting luminaries are on hand. And, of course, we sit around and tell each other how wonderful we are. It's a great gathering of egos.
Well, if it's radio, television, or politics, that's going to be a lot of egos.
I'll tell you, it's a critical mass of egos. It might actually cause a nuclear explosion. I mean, it could happen.
It definitely could. Hey, you know, speaking of egos and whatnot, what do you think about what's happening, the Republican field? Have you seen anybody that illuminates the future?
I'm very impressed by Marco Rubio, actually. I think he has a vision for what needs to be done in the country, and he articulates it well. And to be perfectly honest, that he's not a simplistic blowhard, and I'll let you use your imagination as to whom I'm referring.
Okay. Do you think he's a little young, though?
Not really. He's older than John Kennedy was. He's probably, he's certainly old enough to lead the country, as far as I'm concerned. I don't have any problem with that in that regard. I think maturity is more important than chronological age.
Yeah. It's just, to me, he just, every time you look at him, he just looks so young. That's the only thing
that
I think.
Well, he does look young, that's true. But again, I'm just not going to judge my vote for president on whether somebody looks young. I mean,
Jim, everybody votes by looks now, don't they?
Well, many do, Ann. I know that you certainly would never do that, but many do. You're quite correct.
Yeah, that's true. But how do you think what did you think of Scott Walker getting out?
Well, I was very surprised. His fall was quite precipitous, of course. Just a couple of months ago, he was leading the pack in Iowa, where he's the next-door neighbor as the governor of Wisconsin. But he was not considered to have done well in the debate appearances. Trump heard a number of the traditional candidates, and probably Scott Walker more than most. And his fundraising was starting to dry up. Now, granted, you can run in Iowa if you've got a car and gas money, but not really effectively. And there are people, I think, running for president who are doing so more of a vanity candidacy. And there are others who really want to be president. Scott Walker wanted to be president, and he realized that realistically he didn't have a chance. And I was disappointed. I thought Scott Walker had a lot to offer. And, you know, one of the problems with Scott Walker was that he got, I think, tarred and feathered by this politician label. The public is so into hiring novices, people who don't know what they're doing, to do a job. I'm not really in favor of that. I think that mostly people are upset with congressional Republicans. And here's Scott Walker, a man who's never spent a second working inside the Beltway, unless he was talking with a Wisconsin congressional delegation. He's a guy who actually did things back in his home state of Wisconsin. And if you're a conservative, he did very positive things. And I think that this anti-incumbent mood, frankly, dragged him down unfairly.
Yeah, the anti-establishment is certainly pushing a lot of action. You know, we've got, of course, Ben Carson and Carly Fioroni, and, of course, then there's the that Trump man who... How do you think Trump is...
Well, there are 15 Republican candidates left, three of them, the three non-politicians, Trump, Carson, and Fiorina, have more than half of the support in the polls. The other 12 have less than half of the support. And I don't think that just every incumbent is evil. I think that's simplistic and childish. And frankly, I wish the country would get over the gross national temper tantrum and get down to the effort to pick a leader of the free world and a president of the United States.
Well, it doesn't seem to be going that way, Jim. I hate to tell you this.
Well, I'm well aware. I can read the polls, too, Ann, and we may go this direction. I don't think Donald Trump has staying power. We'll see about Ben Carson. Probably he does. Carly Fiorina, I think, definitely does.
So,
but I would certainly like to see somebody who actually knows their way around Washington on that ticket.
Correct. What about Cruz?
Ted Cruz?
Yes.
Well, Ted Cruz is kind of an interesting case. He's an incumbent, but he's the bad boy incumbent. He's the shake-up-the-system incumbent. I think you can say a lot of good things about Ted Cruz. I have no problem with Ted Cruz. I could support Ted Cruz. And again, I think experience does count. He wouldn't be my first choice at this juncture, but I think he would do a fine job.
Yeah. And down here in South Carolina, Rand Paul with some of our legislatures down here are supporting Rand Paul. Mick Mulvaney, and Mike Pitts from over here in Lawrence is making a big push for Rand Paul.
Right. Rand Paul, of course, has been a bit of a disappointment. I don't know if there will be two-tiered presidential debates from this point on, but if there were, he might very well sink to the children's table, the first debate. His support has dwindled. He's far too much of an isolationist. And until the day arrives that he completely repudiates the notions of his idiot father, Ron Paul, I could never vote for him in a primary.
Yeah.
So anybody whose father says, why can't we just get along with the Taliban? I mean, that's an idiotic statement. And until he repudiates his father, then he's not going to get my vote.
Yeah, he appears to be in he always appears to me recently to look like, he's going to have a temper tantrum any time. He just doesn't.
Oh, he does appear that. Of course, he's as they say in hockey, it can be pretty chippy. That is to say, have a chip on his shoulder, which is not necessarily a bad quality in a president. But yes, he's not Mr. Happy-Go-Lucky. That's certainly true.
Well, he just doesn't put across like I'm in control here, I guess, is what I was kind of thinking.
Well, possibly. Yeah. Possibly. One problem, of course, with the number of candidates is everybody is trying to get noticed, and that's really, really difficult to do. It is very tough. I know just the other day, Mike Huckabee was in Seneca, South Carolina. This was, I guess, a couple of months ago or something. And that's when we were down in South Carolina at our lake hall. I just drove over to see him, and he was quite surprised to see me. But he acknowledged that it is very difficult to get noticed in this field. Until it's whittled down to maybe four or five contenders, it's going to be hard to get noticed. And that's not going to happen until probably after Iowa and New Hampshire. Going into South Carolina, you might have the Republican field whittled down to five.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that I was thinking about, do you think there ought to be a shorter time period rather than to have this going on since spring all the way through next year?
Well, it certainly ought to be. The British are quite capable of having free self-governance, and their campaigns last about 5 weeks. It certainly can be done. This all goes back to Jimmy Carter. Carter, of course, was Mr. Nobody, peanut farmer and former governor of Georgia, he left office in 1974, or 75, January 75, and immediately started running for president. I mean, he was in Iowa forever and always. And, of course, he built up such momentum that he won the presidency. And every candidate since that time has learned the Carter lesson, and that is start earlier yet. And it works. Let's face it. It's ironic that we're talking now about is it too late for Joe Biden to get into the race in what is still September of 2015. John Kennedy did not declare his candidacy until January of 1960.
Well, that gives you a new opportunity to spike, as they always say. You know, you got to make sure you spike at the right time and everything.
Well, they talk about timing. I'm not sure that timing is necessarily A, important, or B, controllable. I mean, I think you've got to run flat out. And just because you spike early doesn't necessarily mean that that you can't sustain that. And conversely, waiting to spike late may show that you simply didn't spike at all.
Right.
I just don't think that that's within the power of a candidate to determine. I think your smart course is to run as hard as you can, as long as you can.
Yeah. You know, speaking of that, though, if we hadn't had Donald Trump in there, I don't think it would be as interesting a race as it has been.
Oh, it's certainly been interesting. Donald obviously is a showman. He does love reality TV. I'm sure that Kanye West could make it interesting, too. Kim Kardashian could make it interesting, but I'm not going to vote for them either.
Well, isn't he talking about running for president?
Kanye West
yeah.
was talking about running for president. Yes, he was, as a
yep.
matter of fact, and I think, bless his heart, it's a free country. You just do what turns you on. Well, the talk show host George Noory is talking about running for president, and I read his platform, and it's simplistic as all get out. I mean, it's pathetically naive, childishly naive. But, hey, it's a free country. Run away. Go
yeah.
ahead. You know,
but also, don't you think that the dollars are so huge? I mean, the very fact that Donald can self-finance here, do you think in the future we're going to have more of these multi-billionaires running?
Well, as long as we don't have any kind of limit on campaign finance, you're going to increasingly limit the field to either people who have massive media exposure or contacts within the fundraising arm of the party or independent I was going to say millionaires, but that won't cut it. Independent, close to billionaires is what it's going to take anymore. And I'm not sure that I'm really in favor of the choices for president being limited to those three groups, frankly.
Right. I mean, that's what I think. I mean, we're just seeing Donald has definitely shown it can be done.
Oh, absolutely. He certainly has shown it can be done, whether or not turns out that he winds up being on the ticket, I think is problematic. But for the juncture, even having taken some recent polling hits, he remains number one in the poll, no question about it. We'll see. I don't think he's going to be on the ticket myself.
You don't think he's going to be on the ticket? Do you think,
no,
even though he's taken the pledge, do you think he would go third party?
Well, I mean, he's always, first of all, with Donald Trump's ego, you never know what he's going to do. And he can always just say, I've changed my mind. I mean, you know,
right.
Would that be hard to believe about Donald Trump? I think not. My guess is still that Donald Trump does not want his political legacy to be that he elected Hillary Clinton. I grant you that Donald Trump has had some pretty unconservative views, and his view on health care still is very unconservative. He wants Obamacare on steroids and said so on 60 Minutes the other night. Plus, he's an old friend of the Clintons. So I'm betting that he doesn't want his political legacy to be that he elected Hillary Clinton, but I'm not sure. And I guarantee you this, he has it in his power. He has it in his power to elect Hillary Clinton president. All he has to do is run as a third party, and he'll destroy the Republican Party in 2016.
That's
he
true.
Can do it.
That's true. Now,
and there are enough idiots out there who'd vote for him and elect Hillary, just like a number of other conservatives, quote-unquote, who couldn't bring themselves to vote for John McCain and couldn't bring themselves to vote for Mitt Romney, gave us 8 years of Barack Obama. And I speak for a lot of us when I say, thanks a whole lot, conservatives.
You are so right. Hey, listen, you know, speaking of Hillary as president, I know you've heard this, what Bill has said, that he's not going to be the first gentleman. He's going to not live in the White House. He's going to continue
yeah.
his life. What do you think about that?
Well, interesting. I mean, let's face it, they've had a Franklin and Eleanor Roosevelt marriage for a long time, which is to say a complete sham. It's a political partnership. They don't inhabit the same bed. They haven't for Lord knows how long, which particular bimbo eruption ended that. So in a way, I guess if she's elected, then there's no need for any further pretense. It's the last race she'll ever run other than a reelection race. And so why maintain the pretense? I'm sure that would be Bill's viewpoint. I obviously don't see him hanging around gatherings of first ladies at summit meetings. I mean, he just wasn't going to do that anyway. So, in a way, I suppose it's honest and above board, which is so surprising coming from a Clinton. I'm surprised that he isn't maintaining the sham. It would be so Clinton-esque of him.
Well, I just thought that was an interesting, you know, and it kind of explains why he has not been on the political helping her out at all, you know. And then it creates an interesting, well, who would fulfill those functions, you know, where she needs an escort, shall we say, to be there with her.
Well, there are, of course, those who would suggest that a very close female friend of hers might do it. But, of course, I wouldn't know whether those rumors are true or not. But... Bill is a guy who's just not cut out for that kind of activity. So yeah, let's face it. There have been occasions in the country. Thomas Jefferson was not married when he was president, and his Secretary of State's wife, Dolly Madison, served as first lady for 8 years under Jefferson, and then 8 years when her own husband was president. So she was first lady for 16 years. So you never know.
Yeah, you don't. It's interesting speculation about it all, though, isn't it?
Oh, it certainly is. And as far as I'm concerned, Ann, we have tickets on the 50-yard line for the Super Bowl of politics, and isn't it fun?
It is fun.
Keep in mind one thing. In mind one thing. The majority of the country, not the majority of listeners to a station like WCRS, but the majority of the country, there are 20 major party presidential candidates. The majority of the country, I'm sure, couldn't name five. Okay? So the majority of the country still is concerned about whether or not Paula Deen can survive on Dancing with the Stars. About which, by the way, let me note that if only she'd had Bobby Brown as a dance partner.
Bobby Brown.
That's probably unkind of me to say.
Oh, well, what the heck here. But I did have one last thing I wanted to talk to you about. I didn't know if you had heard about this new bra out here that is called the knockoff is the Miracle Vibrating Bra.
A vibrating bra? Oh, it's such a straight line. Please tell me about the vibrating bra, Anne, and how it feels.
Well, actually, I haven't gotten one because I haven't felt the need to have a bigger boobs. I mean, I just think you.
Well,
know.
No, I'll be very honest with you. I think that you don't have any additional needs in that department. No, you don't.
So, anyways, though, for those that are in need, there is this new bra out there. It's called the first one was called, I think, the E-bra, and that is to increase the size of the bust by just wearing it for a few minutes every day.
Oh, and this is medically proven that, in fact, a vibrating bra will increase the bust size?
Well, it's got five... It's got five-star reviews now.
I'll put it this way. I can think of one thing that it probably would do, but I don't know that we should talk about it on the air.
Well,
I can think of one thing. It might increase the size of.
Yeah. Okay. Well, anyways, it says you just wear this for a few minutes every day, and it will increase the size of the bust. Now,
I'd love to see some clinical proof of that first.
Would, Jimbo Hannes.
It sounds like quackery to me.
Well, anyways, I saved this story particularly for you. It's a mere $30 investment, and there you go. I just thought I should tell you about it. Now, Pam Stone, who is a comedian, has said, or you can simply continue to ride on the roads of South Carolina.
Well, listen, you try it out, Anne, and you give us a report back. We want before and after pictures.
I'll see what I can do, Jim Bohannon.
Thank you, Anne.
Thank you so much for calling us this morning, Jim. Have a great one.
And you have a great one, too, Anne.
All right. Thanks so much, Jim. Bye-bye.
You betcha. Bye-bye.
Okay.